Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. It is Sarah. And today, one of my favorite topics, even though I feel like I say that probably all the time because they're all my favorite topics. That's a lie. I'm always excited to talk about you rather than talking about toxic people. Okay. Toxic people suck. There's no way around it. They're destructive. Bill Eddy called his book, The Five Types of People Who Will Ruin Your Life. And they suck to talk about. And so much of when you study this, when you learn about it, it's just so frustrating and maddening. It's really easy for a sense of helplessness to settle in. And that is not what I want to give you. I want to give you true hope, not magical thinking and fairy dust and sugar dances and, oh, it'll all work out on its own and I don't have to, you know, do anything and I can just like rub the right genie lamp or, you know, pray the right prayer. I'm not being insulting to prayer by any means. I want to be very clear about that. However, I love the quote that Frederick Douglass said. He said, God started answering my prayers when I started moving my feet. And just like we would hardly ever say, oh, well, you know, I don't have to go to college or get a job because, you know, I can just, like, God's just going to provide whatever I need. We don't think that. I don't have to, you know, most of us don't think I don't have to take, you know, go to the doctor because I can just, you know, pray away cancer. Like most of us do not think in those terms. And I'm saying this goes in that same realm of thinking. We need to do something differently. And so many people, myself included, we try to take a toxic relationship and try to take a situation and we try to learn from it, right? Why did this happen to me? We want to learn from it. We want to be better. We want to be better humans. I want to be a better human. And we assume after our toxic people training that the lesson we're supposed to learn is to be more kind, more giving, less selfish, less needy, more of the things that quite honestly, benefit other people and the things that are more comfortable for us to already do. Like if we're already giving, it's easier to become more of what we are than less of what we are. But, you know, within thinking not less wonderful, less sunshiny, a lesser version of ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about. But we all tend to lead with our strengths. And if your strength is being caring and caring for others, it's easier for you to learn how to be more caring than less caring because your identity is being caring. The problem is that really helps out toxic people. So we want to figure out ways to be caring and be wonderful and be amazing and have faith and all these things, but not let it be used against us and not let it be used for the toxic people's advantage rather than our own. So if you've been in a toxic relationship, there may have been a lesson for you, as is for all of us, but it's probably not to be more caring and to be more of what you are and to be more giving and less needy and all those things, or even to have better boundaries. Maybe the lesson is there are toxic people and when you need to stay away from them, they ruin your life. What if it was that simple? There are toxic people and life is better when we are not surrounded by toxic people. And our brains just do not, if you've followed my work at all, my goal is to make healing from a toxic relationship as simple as a process as humanly possible. Because right now, so much of the language, so much of the work, so much of the reading, so much of the study is so dang complicated. Do they have this personality order? Do they have this personality disorder? Should I do this? Should I do this? You know, was it my past? Was it my childhood? Was it my codependency? Was it this? Was it that? And I want to make it as simple as possible. And one of the things that get us sucked in after a life after a toxic relationship and prevent us from living our best life after the toxic relationship is trying to figure out the lesson we were supposed to learn. I know you've thought about that. Did the lesson you told yourself you were supposed to learn benefit your future or the toxic person's future? Was the lesson you told yourself you were supposed to learn benefiting you or benefiting them? Because if you have been trained by a toxic person to make your life about a toxic person, and then the lesson you told yourself you were supposed to learn was also benefiting the toxic person, then I want you to take a step back, sister, right? Let's figure out if there are other lessons that can be learned, and there are, okay? So living your best life after a toxic relationship. The most important word in that sentence is after. Living your best life after the toxic relationship. There, we all have had moments in our life, and it's like, you know, I imagine 9/11 when the Twin Towers fell in the United States in New York City in 2011. And it was like, America before that experience and America after that experience. We all have different points in our life that are before and after. I want there to be an after for you. If your life is before the toxic relationship, within the toxic relationship, and then a long-term obsession with that toxic relationship, then there's that old, what is that old movie? It's like, Houston, we have a problem. Like when the NASA things, it was, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's be like flight things, but like, Houston, we have a problem. That was always a joke my dad made. It's like, Houston, we have a problem. If the point of your life and the main event of your life was the toxic relationship, and then the main event of your life becomes healing from the toxic relationship, then just like if we were on a spaceship circling the moon and calling down to our home base, you know, Houston, we have a problem. I want your life after the toxic relationship to not revolve around the toxic person, to not revolve around figuring them out and their childhood out and their problems out and their personality out. Because then it's all about them. And if your life is always about them, then your life is not your own. Happiness is not found in studying dark triad personalities. It's fascinating. It's interesting. But it also feeds the obsession and feeds the addiction of the relationship. It's almost like it's like a fix. Like, you know, you shouldn't call them. You know, you shouldn't send them an email. You know, you shouldn't send them a text. You know, some of those things. But it's like a clean way to get your fix. But I want you to imagine if you gave up alcohol and then you're going to say, okay, I gave up alcohol. I'm going to become a wine collector. I'm not going to drink it, but I'm just going to become a wine collector. no one would look at you and say, whoa, 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 whoa. You're trying to make your life not about alcohol and recover from alcohol, but you're going to spend all your time studying alcohol? Well, I mean, yeah, I just want to, I think that will help me and then I'll just know about it, but I don't have to worry about it. Okay. You see the absurdity of that statement. So it's like, oh yeah, I left the toxic relationship, but I'm just going to study it all the time and read about it all the time and learn about it all the time and talk to my friends about it all the time. I'm going to pay somebody every week to talk about it all the time. There is a time for processing what happened to you and processing why. For many of you, that time needs to be shorter than it is. The message of healing should be a lifelong journey is so sad to me. It just breaks my heart. So for, say, your relationship for 5 years, it's hell. It's up and down. It's this, it's that. And then for 2 years after that, every time you meet your girlfriends, the first thing they ask about is the relationship or the healing process or what you've learned about narcissism. And it's like collecting that wine. It feeds that addiction of getting to talk about them, getting to make the day about him, getting to make the lunch about him, getting to feed your fix of him. Which causes your blood pressure to rise, which makes you feel stressed in your body, which makes you feel stressed out. And also think about the signal it sends to others. Okay. So let's assume you go on a new date, right? And, they say, gosh, what do you like to do? What do you do for fun? What do you do for, what's your hobbies? What are your interests? And you say, oh, I spend a lot of my time studying crocodiles. I obsess over crocodiles. I figure out how they bite. I figure out why they bite. I figure out what signals they're going to bite you. I figure out, what to do when they bite you. I figure out where crocodiles live and the difference between crocodile and alligator. And I just study crocodile. I have pictures of crocodiles in my house, all these books on crocodiles, and I just go on retreats and talk about other people who've been bitten by crocodiles, and it's like, okay, so you must really love crocodiles. It's like, oh no, I hate crocodiles. Crocodiles are the worst things that ever happened to me. Crocodiles have ruined my life. I got bitten by so many crocodiles. At first, this crocodile bit me, then this crocodile bit me, then this crocodile bit me, and I never want to get bitten by a crocodile again. It's like, whoa, wow. I bet you don't want to get bitten by a crocodile again. How often are you spending time thinking and talking about crocodiles? All the time. I don't love crocodiles, but I do love talking about crocodiles. It's super fascinating. They're super interesting creatures. You can imagine the absurdity that person would look at you in the face and say, you say you hate crocodiles, yet your whole life is about crocodiles. You say you hate crocodiles, but every time you get a chance to, you talk about crocodiles. You say you hate crocodiles, but when you get to pick up a book, it's about crocodiles. You say you've moved on from crocodiles. You don't have feelings for crocodiles anymore. Yeah, when I look at your search history, when I look at your bookshelf, when I look at what you're doing with your time, it seems to be all about crocodiles. Do you really hate crocodiles? It is important to process what happened to you. It's important to talk about it, to give voice to your words. And it's important to have a life after crocodiles that's not about crocodiles. It's important to build a life where the worst thing that has ever happened to you is not the most important thing that's ever happened to you. And I want to say that again. it is hugely important to have a life where the worst thing that ever happened to you is not the only thing that has happened to you. Where the worst thing that happened to you is not your identity. And I even want you to think about, there's two people, and one person went through a domestic violence situation, right? Or, you know, an abusive situation. I don't like to use, domestic violence is not the only thing. Abuse is not the only, you know, I hate to even use that word, but let's just imagine that. And it's like, okay, they go to rallies for domestic violence and they, you know, talk about domestic violence all the time. And it's like a big thing in their life. And every Facebook post about domestic violence and all that kind of stuff. And then it's like, wow, okay, wow. That's really, you know, and then 5 years later, 6 years later, 10 years later, they're still like domestic violence advocate, which is great. I'm not insulting any of these things at all. But there's that person. And then there's this person who's built this amazing life, who is happy and successful and settled and kind, and has interests and hobbies and a light in her eyes. And she says, yeah, I was a victim of domestic violence. Whoa, really? I never would imagine you. Who do you want to be? Which version of you? Which version of that do you want to be? You get to choose. And I think sometimes we think if we move on from what happened, that we have to stop talking about it, or people won't have ears to hear, or we won't be able to help someone else. But the best gift you can give the world is your own healing. The best gift you can give your children is your own healing. When you are light and you are intelligent and you are successful and you create a relationship where you're well loved, and then people say, well, your ex or somebody says, oh, she was crazy. Was she really? Seems like she's doing pretty well. Versus where your ex says, oh, you know, she's crazy. Look, now she's obsessed with this. She's just trying to prove me wrong. It's an unfortunate truth. It's not fair that women aren't believed sometimes. Far too often, by the court systems, by their churches, by, it's not fair. But it is. And protection for your children, protection for your reputation, protection for whatever else is the secret sauce, is building that wonderful life for yourself. Then people have ears to hear. If your ex says you're crazy, it's like, I don't think she's the crazy one. She seems to be doing really well. Do you see the difference? Especially if you have children in the situation. Well, you know, your mom was always the problem. Well, actually, mom's got a really stable life and stable relationships and stable job, and she seems really happy. It's hard to believe you're crazy and that you were the problem if you are the solution to your own life. Okay. And just because toxic people suck doesn't mean your life has to. And if they've already stolen 5 years, don't give them five more. Yes, of course you can read a book on narcissism. Yes, of course you can focus and think about and process what happened to you. But don't let that be your end game. The end goal of your life is not to know a lot about toxic people. It's to have a wonderful life outside of toxic people. And for that to happen, you have to give yourself permission. Brené Brown does an amazing job about talking about permission notes. And this is where I got this idea from. If the toxic person has been the main event of your own life, it's so crazy to create a situation where you are the main event of your own life. But a wonderful life after a toxic relationship is giving yourself permission and your happiness and your joy and your growth to be the main event of your own life, not studying toxic people. One of the reasons it is so difficult to stop studying toxic people or toxic behaviors is the idea of closure. Right? We think about closure. We think of closure as a good thing. We want closure. And of course we want closure. We want to wrap it up with a bow, end on good terms, feel like a good person. But there is a fabulous quote, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it said, "Stop expecting the person who broke you to put you back together." Because the answer to the closure question is they are a toxic person, and this is who they are choosing to be. Their words may tell you they want to be someone else, but their actions are showing that this is who they choose to be, and they have a pattern of those actions. We live in the information age. They could Google something to fix themselves. They could get help. They could choose different choices. They could get a different support system. They could read some of these books. But they don't choose to be someone different, because the only person who has a problem with how they live is everyone else. They don't have a problem with how they live because they are getting their way more than the other people in their life are getting their way. They're getting a great end of the deal. Okay. So we think they want to change because we think, oh, if they love us, if they this, if they that. Remember, their brains are different. Thinking about if you were trying to change, thinking someone could love you so much, it would change the color of their eyes. Sounds crazy. This is how their brain tells them to operate in the world, and this is how they choose to operate in the world. Could they get some help and improve? Somewhat. Are you ever going to turn a crocodile into a bunny rabbit? No, you were not. Okay. So stop expecting the person who broke you to put you back together. The closure is when they are around you, they hurt you. At least enough of the time for there to be a pattern. Sometimes the pattern is I need to suck her back in. I need to make promises. I need to, flame the hope of change. But overall, the pattern is that they keep going back to who they choose to be because they get their way a lot, because they avoid responsibility a lot, because they get to have their cake and eat it too, because they get to be selfish, because they get to make the rules and break the rules. You want them to change because you have a problem with it. They don't have a problem with their own behavior. Actions speak louder than words. If they did have a problem, they would change their behavior. We live in a time that is more able to change your behavior and have resources than any other time in history. Okay. And I want you to, I know that's a very simple answer, and I'm trying to make it as simple as possible, because we get circled around in our head with the why and really get lost about a better question, which is how. Why did I put up with this versus how do I make sure this never happens again? Why does he act this way? How can I start to introduce things and interest and opportunities in my life that don't revolve around him? Why did the universe put me through this? How can I learn to recognize toxic behavior? Why won't he change? How can I remind myself that he's chosen not to change? And how it can be an action plan. You know, why does he upset me so bad? How can I work in yin yoga in my schedule to reset my nervous system so that I'm not so drawn into this behavior? A how puts you in a position of power. A why puts you in a position of helplessness. I want to get you to more positions of power in your own life. Because just like he has a choice to act like, or she has a choice to act like she chooses to, you have choices too. You don't have a choice to change the toxic person, unfortunately. But you still have a choice to live a life well lived, which is the best revenge. And it is the best. Many people say, oh, you know, when they've ruined my reputation, they've been telling other people I'm the bad guy, they've been telling my kids I'm crazy. The more you live a life well lived, the less their stories are believable. When you see a pattern of behavior, they continue to be who they are. They may smile at the new girl at first and make it seem as if everything is great. And then the mask falls off then too. They may appear to be Disneyland dad, but then the mask falls off. They may appear to be, you know, employee of the year, and then the mask falls off. And if you continue to be good, kind, loving, giving, and forgiving, but also add in savvy, and also create peace and stability for yourself and have that well-lived life, that's not only the best revenge to counterbalance their stories, it's the best way to have a story that you're happy to read. It's the best way to create your happy ending. There are so many things you can control, and figuring out how to move forward rather than why he does that can really get you to that new life. Remember, processing is a great place to visit. It's so important. I'm not talking about overlooking it, but eventually you want to move from processing into progressing. Hope that helps. And I hope you have a fabulous day and dive into healing so that eventually you can dive into growing. Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become toxic person proof.